Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Yes, he is. And who's not thinking gardening in this cold weather? Can't wait for the spring, right? Well, listen, if you have a question for Doug, 866-391-1020. Got a guest coming up as well. And we got a giveaway right now, our first of two this hour. 10th caller, 412-922-1020. You win a gift certificate from Sorgles. But right now, Doug wants to take a stroll down memory lane, remembering one of the NFL's great. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning. How are you, Rob? Happy Valentine's Day, everybody.
I'm good, sir.
We lost Marty Schottenheimer. He was a coach for the Cleveland Browns and other teams. But I covered him during his tenure in Cleveland, and he was just a very nice person, besides being a great coach. And I just happened to see this little moment between him and his son Brian before some big game, and I can't remember what it was, but it was the old Cleveland Municipal Stadium. And I was sitting in the dugout, you know, a couple hours before the game, and Marty's son Brian, who became an NFL coach himself, actually, was a ball boy for the team, and I just happened to be sitting there and watched them both come out together onto the field. And when Marty had to go his way and Brian had to go his way, they kissed. It was just a sweet little moment between father and son. And I just thought it was, I always thought of that moment. And then when I heard that Marty passed, I just thought I would relate that. We do have a guest a little later on today, Eva Monheim. She's a longtime friend of mine. We usually see each other annually at the Mance Trade Show in Baltimore. That's the Mid-Atlantic Nursery Trade Show. Of course, that was virtual this year, but we'll be talking about her new book, which I love, called Shrubs and Hedges, Discover, Grow, and Care for the World's Most Popular Plants. And right after we're done talking, I'll give away a copy of her book. Last week's winner for the Grow Your Soil book was Rosemary Slomkowski, and I'll be giving away books every week also. And my project, Doug's Free Seed Shacks, continues to move forward. These are just big, old newspaper sales boxes, the kind you used to put a quarter in and open it up and get the paper out. And I was trying to figure out how I was going to paint them. And Handy Andy from EV True Value called me and schooled me on that. So I think I'm going to be able to paint them myself. The only thing I'm looking for is more seeds. It's hard to get seeds. I want last year's seeds, actually, just the expired stuff, which will still be good to plant. It's just that those are easier to get. And it's been nice, though. I've had lots of people sending me seeds. And I'm going to put these shacks all around the city, and people just go get their free seeds. It's going to be fun. The story I wrote this week for the Green Voice is all about great indoor winter jobs for us. And Mrs. Know-It-All will actually be here a little later to tell us about one of my favorites in that story, which is forcing branches. This is a great thing to do this time of the year. It's great because I can hear the birds singing in the morning. Stick your head out the window. It is Valentine's Day, and that's what the birds are doing. They're singing to each other. They're Twitter-pated. That's a Disney term for they're looking for mates. And in just a month, we'll be planting peas in the garden, so we're getting to the end, even though this is a tough way to end winter, that's for sure. If you've got a gardening question, I'd love to hear from you right now. We've got a couple minutes here on this segment to talk to you before our guest. It's 866-391-1020. But if you've got a question and you can't get through or you're too shy to call, I answer questions after the show at DougOster.com. And I'll answer for about an hour today after the show. But we'd love to talk to you right now. And, Rob, do we have anybody waiting? Because I've got some other things to talk about.
You know what? Let's take – we have one caller, and it's John in Bethel Park, and we'll get to him right now. Thanks for holding on, John. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Doug. This is a follow-up question that I asked you a couple of years ago.
Okay, what was it?
About dahlias.
Yep.
I was wondering, since you have to dig dahlias here, but you don't have to dig them in further south, what happens if you just leave them in the ground? So I was thinking, how about digging them up and then just putting them back down just the way they are, rather than dividing them every year and getting, you know, keeping them small. And you said, well, why don't you try it and see what happens? So I did. And that was a couple of years ago. And I now have, rather than dahlia flowers, I have dahlia shrubs. And they just keep growing. Of course, I take off any withered or, you know, bad tubers. But I just basically put them back down. And I now have dahlias that have anywhere from, 15 to 25 blossoms on them at once, you know, and it's been great fun. And I just thought I'd let you know that how it turned out.
Let me go over it. So you left the entire, all those tubers, you left them at the end of the season. Is that right? You're taking them out?
No, I didn't leave them in the ground. I dug them up.
You're just not separating them.
But I didn't divide them.
You're putting them back in because we've always been taught to separate them. And that's pretty interesting stuff. And so what's the biggest clump of tubers do you have that you're pulling out of there?
I would imagine it's probably a foot across.
Wow. And they're just going nuts when you plant them, huh?
Yeah, they just keep growing. And there will be anywhere from a dozen to maybe 25 or more flowers on them at once, and they just keep coming.
It's got to be absolutely beautiful. Well, I'm glad you called back and tell us about that. That's great information. That might be something I'll try then when I'm pulling my dahlias and not separating. Well, Rob, what do you think? You want to get a break early and we'll have a little bit more time for the guest?
Sounds good, Doug. Let's take a break. We'll come right back. Stay with us. And he is on with his very special guest. Go ahead, Doug.
I'm going to welcome Eva Monheim to the show. She is the author of Shrubs and Hedges, Discover, Grow, and Care for the World's Most Popular Plant. Wait till you hear this bio, and this is only half of it, all right? She is an instructor at the amazing Longwood Gardens for the Professional Horticulture Program, is a faculty member at the Barnes Arboretum at St. Joseph's University, holds a degree from Penn State in Horticulture and Art, a degree from Arcadia University in English Literature, certified arborist through ISA, master floral designer, photographer, and artist. Eva was an assistant professor of instruction at Temple University in the Department of Landscape Architecture and Horticulture for over 12 years, where she taught 13 different subjects in undergraduate and graduate programs. Oh, Eva, welcome to the show. I've known you for a long time, but I knew you were an accomplished horticulturist, but holy cow.
Thank you for having me, Doug. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
You know, in an email when I was talking to you earlier this week, you said about Shrubs and Hedges, this new book. This is not an encyclopedia of shrubs. It is a book on the way to approach shrubs in general, and they each have a purpose in our environment. Tell me a little bit about that. It sounds like you had something special in mind when you wrote this book.
Well, I did, and the original title, believe it or not, was A Passion for Shrubs, because I think that they're so they're underappreciated, but they do a huge amount of heavy lifting in the environment. And especially where you're looking at riparian areas, areas where you need to stabilize soil so that it doesn't erode, or to actually create cleaner water is important also. So some of these are some of the things that shrubs do besides providing food for our feathered friends along migratory trails. And we have three major migratory trails here in the United States, one minor one. And along the East Coast in particular, the buried shrubs become very important for birds. And they actually help to distribute the seed too. So if we watch our bird populations closely, we can actually see what they're eating, and then they will carry it wherever they go, the seed.
Is there something in particular that you love that we should plant to help the birds on the East Coast here or on the eastern part of the U.S.?
Absolutely. Some of the major plant material that birds will go after are any of the hollies, whether it's American holly, the deciduous hollies like Ilex decidua or Ilex verticillata, which is the winterberry holly. Those are plants that are found in wetlands along our eastern seaboard. These become critical for not only for food, but also for habitat. We're looking at the evergreen type will actually provide shelter for birds. And it's critical for them to have these plants too, especially when we have hurricanes, having these slightly inland or more inland, even into Pittsburgh. Sometimes birds get knocked off course from hurricanes, and they will need food sources for them to eat. And they also will drop seed there. Sometimes you wonder how a certain seed gets to where it is, and a lot of times it's because birds have been knocked off course either from fog or heavy wind or other weather events.
In looking through shrubs and hedges, one thing that I found that I think every Pittsburgher wants to know about, you've got a section in there about shrubs for steep slopes and hillsides. Well, that's all we have in Pittsburgh, Eva, so fill us in.
I used to live in Pittsburgh, so I know that there are so many steep slopes in Pittsburgh, and to stabilize those slopes is important because if you have green cover on them, the likelihood of having a slipping and sliding of soil will actually be stabilized with the use of shrubs. And I have quite a number in the list here that do really well along riparian slopes versus dry slopes. And there is a difference. The riparian slope is usually wetter, and the dry slopes don't necessarily wind up in a wetland area. They may dry up in a dry canyon or something like that. So you have some wonderful ones like the sumacs in particular. They not only provide a good habitat for birds, but the winged sumac, which is also known as a shiny sumac, is a really good one. The regular Rus tithina, which is the staghorn sumac, which we see along highways, that one does really well in wet or dry. And then there's the Rus aromatica, which is the fragrant sumac, and that one there has a low-growing one called Grolo, and that one there covers a steep slope very well. And in fact, we had a problem here in Philadelphia when they first built one of the buildings down on main campus at Temple, and the only plant that did really well on that steep slope was Rus aromatica and some of the conifers, which were junipers, Virginiana, which is our eastern red cedar. And if you can find cultivars that are shrub like that, that even works better because they spread. Some of the other spreaders that are great are the Juniperus horizontalis, which is the horizontal juniper, which covers beautifully and creates a beautiful mat. And those are native to the Mount Desert Island in Maine. And there's a lot of plant discovery going on up there because these plants can either take really dry, really wet, windy, salty, and especially if you're along a salty roadway here in Pennsylvania, we know that they use tons and tons of salt on the roadways. So having a salt-loving plant or salt-tolerant plant is important as well. So I'm looking down my list here, and there's the Aeschylus parviflora, which is the bottle brush buckeye. That does really well on wet slopes, and it spreads. So if you find something that's a spreader, that will help stabilize a bank very quickly. And that's what I like to suggest when you're putting in a planting on a slope, to pick something that will spread. There's another good one that just came out, put out recently, well, I guess in the last 2 or 3 years, called Lowscape Mound, which is the aronia, the black aronia, or black chokeberry. It produces amazing spring bloom, produces an amazing berry population, and that'll also attract birds, and especially ground nesting birds, because it's a low mound, and it gets to be about a foot to a foot and a half tall, and it has an amazing fall color as well.
We've got about a minute. About a minute left, Eva. What did you want people to get out of the book?
Well, the thing that I want people to get out of the book is that shrubs are very diverse, number one. And number two, that you have a great selection of plant material that can be utilized in your garden, on your slope, and be diverse about what you pick. Don't just pick a monoculture. If the more diversity that you have, the better it is for your environment, not only for pollinators, but also for small ground nesting birds and regular birds, migrating birds, and also small animals. So you're creating a nice habitat.
Eva Monheim is the author of Shrubs and Hedges, Discover, Grow, and Care for the World's Most Popular Plants. You can find out everything else about Eva at evamonheim.com. Thanks so much for getting up early in the morning and telling us about this wonderful book, Eva.
Oh, thank you so much, and happy Valentine's Day to you.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Hey, the folks at Janoski's getting ready for a big Valentine's Day out there. The celebration starts at 8 until 6. All sorts of good things. Arrowhead Winery, the bakery, and more. And if you're the 10th caller at 412-922-1020, you'll win a $25 gift certificate from the good people at Janoski's. Okay, Doug, you want to give a book away?
Yeah, let's give away Eva Monheim's book. It's called Shrubs and Hedges, Discover, Grow, and Care for the Most Popular Plants. And all you have to do is go to DougOster.com. Click on that contact button and just say, hey, I want to win the book. And tomorrow I'll pick the winner randomly and send you off the book. You know, we only scratched the surface on this book. I really love this book. But there's a comprehensive list in there of hydrangeas and lots of great hydrangea information. The number one question we get as garden writers is, why doesn't my hydrangea bloom? And so there's just... it breaks down all the different types of hydrangeas in there. There's information on designing with shrubs. There's another list of shrubs for wet areas. Details pruning for shrubs, you know, as Eva was talking about, shrubs for wildlife. So a really cool book and one that I really enjoyed. Now, I got some questions from listeners that I didn't get to last week. And that's part of what I'll do, too. Like, if you don't get through or you've got a question and you don't want to talk about it on the radio, just send the question, the same thing. Go to DougOster.com, click on the contact, and I answer questions after the show. But Teresa wanted to know, she has a problem with fungus in her soil, she thinks. So they're planting a 5x8 garden. They want to make raised beds over the garden they have there, but they've had problems in the past with different plants getting different fungal issues with black spots or powdery mildew. So my answer to her was that you don't know if that's soil-borne. There's airborne, there's soil-borne fungus, but if you're going to make a raised bed, you don't have to really worry. The soil that you're getting is not going to have any kind of fungal issues, and I would recommend compost, and that's what I told Teresa. You know, dump you know, 12 to 18 inches of compost over that area, and you'd be good to plant right off the bat. The more important thing with dealing with fungal issues is making sure that these plants have air circulation, making sure that you have mulch in case you do have fungal spores in the ground. That oftentimes splashes up, gets on the plants. And then using a good organic fungicide. If you've got a plant like, a rose that gets black spot all the time, and you know it's going to have black spot, it's better to use that organic fungicide right when it leaves out to keep it healthy. Some other questions. Any words of wisdom for planting strawberries? This is the first time I've ever planted strawberries, and strawberries are easy. There's actually a series of strawberries that has just been introduced through a company called Bushel and Berry, and it's three different strawberries that are ever-bearing. So there's two different types of strawberries. There's your big June-bearing ones that you get tons and tons of strawberries, and then that's it. And then there's ever-bearing, where they don't put as many on, but they just put them on all season long. And so just like anything else, when you're planting strawberries, you're going to want to really work up that soil, you know, add compost. I know I sound like a broken record. And give them the proper spacing and lots of mulch. And, you know, you're going to have to watch when they put berries on, you're going to have to watch for chipmunks, squirrels, birds, and also slug damage. That's why I like the mulch. So I like to grow them up on straw. Here's one, and Mrs. Know-It-All will speak to this too. Lori says, Mrs. Know-It-All said she starts her zinnias indoors. I thought zinnias didn't need to be transplanted, and I've seen them in nurseries, and they always looked bad. So she's always started them from seed, but, again, she's seeing that Mrs. Know-It-All starts them indoors. So, you know, everybody does a little bit differently. I like to start my zinnias direct sowing, but I have to wait longer for the blooms. So with Mrs. Know-It-All starting earlier, she's going to get earlier blooms. You can do it either way. That's the point here. You know, the same thing with with the Mexican sunflower that I grow, called Tithonia Torch. You could put the seeds directly into the soil and they would do fine, but they would just bloom a little later. That's all. A lot of people think that zinnias, when you direct sow them, at least this is what I've heard, when you direct sow them, are less likely to get powdery mildew. But we'll talk to Mrs. Know-It-All about this. When she comes out, she's going to tell us all about forcing branches. Another question, somebody has a vole problem. That's V. Voles are just little mole-like creatures that feed on plants. So voles are a problem. There could be 400 of them there. The colony gets so big. And the question is, have you ever used a product called Sonic Mole Chaser, one of those vibrating things? And I never have. The best success I've had in dealing with voles and moles, again, when we talk about moles are actually good for the garden, except if they're making tunnels where you're going to break your ankle or you just can't stand the way it looks. Moles aerate the soil, eat grubs, leave a little fertilizer behind. But voles, with a V, those are the ones we're most concerned with. But for either one, there's an organic product called Mole Scram. And it just uses garlic and castor oil to make a barrier. And so the vole and the mole, you put down kind of a band about a foot wide where you don't want them to be, and then you continue to build on that band, and it pushes them off the area that you want, you don't want them. And so that's a very easy organic control, inexpensive and easy to do. As I said during the first segment of the show, we are getting ready to plant in just 1 month. You know, St. Patrick's Day is the day that we plant our peas. That's when Grandma said to plant your peas. And looking at it out there now, it doesn't seem like it's going to be ready, but it will be. There will be a break in the weather. Spring will come, and we can put those peas in. If you're a seed starter, as we've been talking the last few weeks, you've got to get out there. Go to your local nursery or garden center. Get your seeds, because it's going to be another crazy year for gardening. You know, some of these seed companies have shut down for a week at a time. going 24/7, trying to keep up, trying to get people their seeds, because more people are gardening because of the pandemic. And so, as I said, you know, I was at a nursery where I was talking to them, and they only got half the seeds they were supposed to get, and they don't know if they're going to be resupplied. So get out there when you can, get some seeds, and that starting from seed is just not only are you saving money, not only are you getting these unique varieties that you can't grow any other way, it's also just a feeling of satisfaction to start a little seed and go all the way up to fruition. I just got some new lights from Handy Andy, these LED lights. I'll be making a video soon about how I'm going to install those lights and have an indoor seed starting system again. But starting from seed, you know, pretty soon it's time. You know, as we talked last week with Mrs. Know-It-All, little seeds now, maybe some impatiens, begonias, something like that, petunias, but the main crop, not till next month. All right, Rob, ready for a break?
Yeah, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. Mrs. Know-It-All just moments away. And don't forget, coming up, it's the Coons Cooking Hour, Romantic Recipes on KDKA. And it's time once again, right, Doug?
That's right. Time for Mrs. Know-It-All. Horticulturist Denise Schreiber is here. And, Denise, let's get to those zinnias.
Yeah, so
you start them inside, but can they be started just directly in the garden?
They can be started directly in the garden. Just make sure the soil's real friable. It's not real heavy clay. The only reason I like to start them indoors is I like to get them a little taller, and then I can snip them so they branch out more, the old-fashioned type. But planting them out in the garden does not make one difference whether you get powdery mildew or not. It depends on the humidity. It depends on the air circulation.
All right. Let's hear all about getting some indoor spring blooms, because we need it.
Oh, yeah, especially with what's coming. So, you know, once we have, sometimes we have a day over 40 to 35, 40 degrees, and that's an ideal day to go out and harvest some branches. And so what you do, you take branches that are about 12 inches long, and you want several, you don't want just one, and put them in a bucket of water immediately. And then when you get them in the house, take a razor blade or a sharp knife, paring knife works, and cut about 1 to 2 inches on the bottom of the stem and put it in back in the water. Now, the thought used to be you'd take a hammer and smash it, but you can actually do more damage, and the plant won't be able to take up the water and force. You want to look for branches that have swelling in the buds, you'll see it. And all you do really and truly is just put them in water and in a cool spot out of direct sunlight, change the water every couple of days, and within, depending on what plants you've, you know, harvested, 1 to 2 weeks, you'll start seeing, you know, blooms, something we need. So I actually have a list of plants we can do. Everybody knows you can do forsythia. You know, that sort of comes with the territory.
Right. I've got forsythia going, but I want some other things. What else can I do at this time of the year?
Okay, cornelian cherries, witch hazel. You can also do serviceberry. You can do redbud. You can do apples, crab apples. You can do everybody's favorite cherries and azaleas. People said you can do rhododendrons, although I've never tried it. You can also do honeysuckle, and everybody's favorite, pussy willows, which are my favorite. I grow them. I make sure I take a bunch of branches and force them every year. But you want to do them in a succession. You don't want to do them all at once. So you can start, I'd say, I think next week it gets a hair warmer.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, just harvest some. And then maybe every week, every 2 weeks, harvest something else so you'll have a continuation of blooms until we may actually see some real blooms on, you know, trees and shrubs. But, you know, be creative. You can, you know, try it and see. And sometimes you'll get some that the leaves will just come out and not the blooms. But that's okay, because that kind of gives you some texture in your flower arrangement, and you'll have it there. I have a whole list in a little more details on my Mrs. Know-It-All page, but that also, if you go on there, you'll also see a plant from Suntory called Sweetheart and Purple Heart. It is a petunia, and on the petals, they're heart-shaped, which I thought would be most appropriate for Valentine's Day.
When we're talking about forcing branches,
mm-hmm.
should I wait to get closer to the true blooms? Like if I wanted to do, I don't know, something like a dogwood, should I wait a little bit? You know, forsythia is an early bloomer. You know, cherries are early bloomers. Or can I get away, you think, with anything that has a bud on it?
Well, you can try any plant you want. But you want to wait till you start to see flower buds actually forming, or there are at least some swelling on the branches. So that's what I'm saying. You want to do it, you know, periodically and go out. So right now, at the rate we're going, I'd say wait another 2 weeks and then go out. And I'm hoping for warm weather. It doesn't matter if it snows. It's when we have those warmer days that helps. And then go out and start cutting them. So if you wanted to do dogwoods, I would say wait till mid-March.
Okay.
You know, if you want to do pussy willows, you can probably do them in another week or two.
That sounds good. It's fun. I mean, I've had a lot of fun with the forsythia, and I had a happy accident where my paperwhites bloomed at the same time my forsythia did. I don't think you like paperwhites.
I don't like paperwhites. They smell like old socks.
Yeah, a lot of people can't stand the smell. For some reason, I like them. But they are very strong, that's for sure.
Yeah.
All right, Mrs. Know-It-All, thank you for all that information. And those petunias sound pretty cool. That's the perfect. You're right. It's the perfect Valentine's Day plant. I will be answering questions after the show. Just go to DougOster.com, click on the contact button, and just ask your question there. I get lots of questions after the show. I've got about an hour to answer questions this morning. And I would love to talk to you that way if you've got some information for me. Maybe you have some seeds for me for my Doug's Free Seed Checks. I got from Lori sent me these amazing loofah gourd seeds, a giant packet of them. So reach out. We'll talk. Remember, organic gardeners, you make our world brighter and safer with each seed you sow and every garden you grow.
All right, Doug, thank you so much. Have a great rest of your day. You and your significant other have a wonderful Valentine's Day. And for all of you that have that significant other, guess what we have coming up very shortly on the Coons Cooking Hour. Joan Frank Dentici and I, it's all about romantic dinners. And don't forget, all of your Coons Quality Foods, Coons Markets are open today. And they have everything you need. Great selection of candy, wonderful floral department that won't break the bank, beautiful roses, and don't forget meat, seafood for that entree, and they have delicious baked goods, too. And at the Banksville location, McKnight Road location, the best selection of wines anywhere. Happy Valentine's Day to all of you on this Valentine's Day at KDKA.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.